Never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Good morning, church. Hello. Good morning. All right, can you hear me? Okay, I'm so glad you're joining us this morning. If you're joining us online, we welcome you. This morning, we're going to focus on our God as creator in our worship set today. So I'm going to read from Psalm 148. So just think about, I know we live near the shore, it's so beautiful, right? We see sunsets, sunrises, the ocean. And when I'm on the beach, I just think of my creator and how he created all this beauty for us to enjoy. So let's read through Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. And he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth. Young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together as we sing this hymn, beautiful hymn, all creatures of our God and King.
Oh, Protects his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and he carries them in the fold of his garment. He gently leads them, those that are nursing. But then when we look over in John 10, verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own knows me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And verse 18, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up. And I received this command from my Father.
We have so much to be thankful for to our God.
Father, we just thank you so much for this time of worship to enter into your presence. Father God, thank you so much for the way, the truth, and the life that is in our Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Yes. For the Lamb who brought not only atonement into our life and eternal salvation, but Father God encourages us to know the Father God just as you know Jesus, you know us. And so, Father God, as we welcome your message today, may our hearts be open to receive all that you would have for us today. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, take a few minutes to welcome individuals next to you.
Okay, if I could ask everybody to get back to their seats. Hope you had a chance to greet your family and friends, your family here at the church, obviously. So thankful to be here today. Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Bible Church. If you are here for the first time, welcome. It's nice to have you here. I do see some new faces. If you look in front of you or at the tables, we have what we call these connection cards. And we try to connect with the people who are coming here. If you're interested in filling one of those out, we'd love to get to know you a little bit better. And if you want us to reach out to you or if you have any special prayer requests, go ahead and use those connection cards to let us know, and we'll be able to do that for you. So As everybody knows, here at Trinity, we have core values. Our three core values are learn, grow, and serve. You see them up on the screen there. Those are very important to us. That's all about the church life here at Trinity. We learn through God's word as we share together. Then we grow in our faith as we start acting out the things that the Lord is teaching us through his word. And we have opportunities to serve. And so for those of you who have never had an opportunity to serve before but would like to do that, please come see someone in the leadership. I'm sure we can find something for you to do. All right. First of all, I just wanted to say we're a couple things going on in church life this week. We actually kicked things off yesterday. I wanted to thank Frank for opening up his house to us. We had a great time at his house. We had quite a crew that came out, enjoyed a pool party and barbecue. We all got to gather together. Nice casual atmosphere. The weather started out cloudy in the morning, but by the time we got there, the sun started to come out, and we just really had a great day. So I'm hoping that next year we'll be able to do more of these barbecues in addition to the ones that we have on Sundays. Okay, a couple things coming up this week. This Thursday, August 21st at 11 a.m., we are going to join together again with the Toms River Housing and Homeless Coalition. They're located in Toms River. They have a ministry that shows up every third Thursday of the month. We go and join them in the outreach that's there. We go there to serve lunch. We also hand out our blessing bags for those of you who aren't familiar with that. For the people who are homeless in our community, we try to put blessing bags together of essential needs and items that they can have and take with them when they leave this place. And we also have them, just in general, we keep them in our cars. If you see someone along the side of the road that looks like they need something, shampoo, soap, other essential toiletry items and things like that. So again, we do the blessing bags, but you also have a chance to share the gospel with them, obviously. And then Andrew, I don't know if he's around right now. I think he's outside. But if you have any questions about that, please go and see Andrew, and he'll fill you in on that. All right, men of Trinity, we have a busy week coming up. This Friday night is the Blue Claws outing. I'm sorry to say I don't have any more tickets for the Blue Claws game, but for those of you who are going to the Blue Claws, if I haven't given you your tickets yet, please come see me. I have them available. I'll explain to you what the tickets are and how they work. And then the next day, on Saturday, we're gathering together for a pool party and barbecue again, this one for the men, at Santos Epin's house, which is at 3408 Belmar Boulevard in Wall Township. It starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. If you're planning to go, please let me know, or you can let Prima know too. We'll keep track of how many people are gonna be coming, and then if you can bring a side dish with you, that would be awesome. Next Sunday, two items I wanted to share with you. The first thing is that this is going to be the last Sunday, the 24th, that we're gonna be collecting diapers and wipes for the Jersey Shore Dream Center Baby Pantry. Say that three times fast. All right, it's located in Neptune, but we're gathering wipes and diapers. They can be placed right in the bin as you walk into the entrance of the back of the church. On the left-hand side, there's a bin there where we gather all of that stuff. We'll put them together, and then, like I said, this will be the last week, this coming week. So if you have an opportunity to get out and you haven't done anything yet, if you'd like to contribute to that, please feel free to do so. Also next Sunday, August 24th, you can join the missions team for an outreach at the Lexington House in Lakewood between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. You'll have an opportunity again to share the gospel, to pray with a lot of the residents who are there, and hand out blessing bags that are filled with those special items that we have. So Andrew is another good point of contact for that one. He's been helping to coordinate a lot of these special local outreaches, and he stays very connected with our missionaries as well. So details on these things can be found at trinityallenwood.com. Okay, so the summer's wrapping up. We're coming into the fall season now pretty soon. Boo, I know. But I'm looking forward to it because it's nice to have the summer off, but I'm excited to get back into the Word again, and we have many opportunities for you to do that. So starting Sunday, September 7th, the Digging Deeper series will resume. That is going to be from 9:30 a.m. to 10:15 a.m. every Sunday. We meet down the hall in Classroom A. We're going to be focusing this time on the Book of Job. So if you would like to join us, again, it's another opportunity to dig into God's word a little bit deeper. It's a great time of discussion that we have with one another. We really learn a lot about each other, and we learn insights and things that we may never have thought about and how we approach the word. So if you can do that, please feel free to do so. And then the second thing is the following Tuesdays, there's going to be September 9th, the men's and women's Bible studies will resume. The men meet from 6:30 to 7:30 in the morning every Tuesday. The women meet from 9:30 to 11 a.m. This year, there's also going to be an added bonus. There's going to be another women's class at 7 p.m. So if you can't make the women's class in the morning on Tuesday night, you're going to be able to meet at 7 p.m. And they're going to be offering both series, the books of Job and Hebrews. So we're going to be going through both of those for that. So if you are interested in that, we're trying to get a head count so that we can start ordering books. If you're interested in any one of those, please reach out to Betsy Neary, and Betsy's going to help to coordinate the collection of those books and have them ready for September. That's it for our announcements today. Now I'm very happy and honored to have our guest speaker again today. Jim Miller is from the First Baptist Church of Metuchen. He's been with us a few weeks ago. We enjoyed your time last week, and I'm really our last time that you were here. I'm really enjoying what you're going to talk about today. So thank you for doing that. We look forward to you ministering to us this morning. Please be ready to receive the word, and please give him a warm welcome.
Thank you so much. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be back with you again. I always enjoy being here, especially through the connection through Keith Whittell. It's always a great blessing to see some young men that have been on your church staff who then take the responsibility of being the pastor of another congregation. So that's a real joy for me. I enjoy seeing our young men pick up the torch and move ahead. And I'm so glad that Keith wound up here. And I know he's a blessing to you. So let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. I'm going to continue. Last time I shared a message about caring for strangers. We have another message on caring. So let's ask the Lord's blessing on his word today. Father, we thank you that you have given to us the responsibility to care for others. We thank you, Lord, that you have saved us and given us the opportunity to be your people, your presence even in the world. And we pray, Lord, as we think about caring for others, that we would be challenged ourselves to find out where what that looks like in our own lives. So, Lord, thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage us as we read it together and share some thoughts together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, we're going to think about another aspect of caring. You ever stop to think about the importance of caring for the next generation? I read a little something one time, talked about a man named Henry Brooks Adams. I never heard of the guy, but in the 19th century, evidently he was a well-known historian and author, and he was also a person who kept a diary. Some of you may keep diaries, but this gentleman did. He learned it very early. And as a matter of fact, there's an entry in his diary from when he was 8 years old. And he wrote in his diary, "Went fishing with father, most glorious day of my life." And as people read through his diary, they saw over the next 40 years, numerous references to that very day that he considered the most glorious day. Well, his father also kept a diary. His father was Charles Francis Adams, and he was Abraham Lincoln's ambassador to London. So he was a man of significance in his day as well. And you can find the same date that the son wrote about his day gone fishing with his father. And this is what the ambassador to London wrote in it. "Went fishing. A day wasted." Isn't that a sad thought? That he missed the opportunity, that he didn't even realize what an impact that day of fishing was having on his own son. He was perhaps so absorbed with his own career, who knows what, but he considered it a day wasted. And we never know what opportunity that we will miss when we don't value spending time helping to shape the next generation. And God's word exhorts us to be very intentional about the care for the next generation. I'd like to share with you as our scripture reading this morning a well-known passage from the Psalms. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. It goes on for something like 72 verses, but I'm going to share the first 8 verses of Psalm 78 as our scripture reading for the message today. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. Oops. Must have skipped. We will not hide them from their children, but tell of the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. That's a real exhortation to us, isn't it? Of the importance of the next generation. And I'd like to spend a few moments today just thinking about that. So the first way that we can care for the next generation is by communicating the wonders of God. It says in Deuteronomy 4:9, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Again, the word of God exhorts us to talk about the wonders of God. When we think of the wonders of God, we sang of that this morning. That was our theme in worship this morning. That's no accident. Very often the Spirit of God just orchestrates that, but Suzanne and I had a little collusion on that one. But at any rate, we sang of the wonders of God. And the wonders of God is something that we delight to see in our world. And I hope you don't just take the world for granted. And all the wonders of our universe, all the wonders of the way he's created our world, that you never lose excitement over a sunrise or a sunset, that you never cease to marvel at the way God has created our world. You know, if we were any closer to the sun, everything would burn up. And if it was farther away from the sun, our world would freeze to death. But it just happens, right, that our earth is the perfect distance from our sun. Now, it's the wonders of God. So many things that we can think about. Do you ever do a study of water, all of the properties of water? Most things, when they turn from a liquid to a solid, they shrink. But water is different. It expands. If the water didn't expand, and when ice formed, it would go to the bottom of the body of water, and it would kill all of the marine life. But instead, water floats when it turns into a solid. Why is that? That everything else shrinks, but water is expanded. It's the wonders of God, the way he made our world. We could talk about the composition of the air we breathe. You don't think about the air we breathe very often, do you? Now, try having a collapsed lung, like I did in January. Oh, yeah, then you think about the air you breathe. Very important to breathe that air, but we can take that for granted. But again, the air has just the right combination of oxygen and carbon dioxide and nitrogen and all of these things. It's a wonder. So don't lose the enthusiasm over the wonders of the world. And not only that, don't forget to communicate them to your next generation. Communicate them. Just as you see the wonders of your world, point them out and reinforce the idea that God created this. We live in a world that's just saturated with the thinking that, no, our world just kind of happened, right? There was a big bang and here we are. Don't explain where all of the matter and energy came from for the big bang, but, well, here we are. No, come on. You look everywhere, you see the fingerprints of God. And the next generation just hears, no, it just kind of happened and everything just kind of evolved from a big explosion and finally, you know, well, I won't go into that. It'll just put me in a bad mood. But you get the point. The next generation doesn't appreciate the fact that we live in a world of wonders created by God unless somebody tells them about the wonders of God. And that's one of our responsibilities. Whether they're your own children or just people of the next generation that you have the opportunity to communicate with. So we care for the next generation by communicating the wonders of God. Well, okay, there we go. The second thing that we can do, second way that we can care for the next generation is by communicating the Word of God. Obviously, that is a very important and significant thing, to communicate the Word of God. And of course, the primary place where the Word of God needs to be communicated is in the home. We saw in Psalm 78, talked about our fathers have taught us, and mentioned that in verse 3. And then there's us, and then it says about their children, and then the children after that. There's four generations right there. And so it's something that needs to be multiple generations that we need to see are affected by the teaching of the Word of God. The primary place for that is in the home. It tells us in Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. That's very intentional, isn't it? It's intentional to communicate the Word of God. And we do that by symbols in our own home, working it into conversation. And again, this doesn't need to be only in your home, but in contact with other people, but especially in the home. One generation is to communicate with the next. Notice that. One generation, the generations together. It's kind of a back and forth thing. And so when you talk in your home, be listening for things that your children have learned and have heard, because it can go two ways, can't it? But the important thing is that it begins in the home. You know, somebody once said, the kind of Christian you are at home is the kind of Christian you really are. Because sometimes, you know, we have our church face, right? All smiles. But at home, well, maybe a different person appears when the door closes behind you. The Word of God says, shouldn't be that way. You should be communicating what you've learned about God through not only your words, but through your actions. We communicate to one another in that way. And we communicate the Word of God. So, we want to talk about the deeds of God, the interventions that God has made in our lives, the protections that God has given to us. It's something very personal. Right? We talk about the wonders of God. Well, that's out there, right? That's the whole world. But when we talk about the Word of God and what he's done in our lives, well, that becomes personal and individual. And it's not just talking about the wonders of our world and the way God has moved and shaped in history. It's what God is doing in our own lives. It's kind of interesting because were we to read the rest of Psalm 78, as I said, it goes for 72 verses. Once you get past 8, and of course it says there that it was a rebellious generation. And so there's section after section after section of Psalm 72, and it talks about a people who were disloyal, how they murmured against God, how they had meaningless repentance, how they had ingratitude for what God did, that they had new beginnings but that were short-lived, that they were stubborn and rebellious and ungrateful. See, Psalm 78 is very much preventative, isn't it? Because it harkens back to the people of God who were first liberated from their bondage and slavery, and they didn't do such a good job of it. And so the psalmist is writing here, and he's pouring out his heart, saying it's so important to communicate to the next generation, and particularly the word of God, the words that God has given to us and has spoken to us. You know, as we read those subsequent verses of Psalm 78, we realize that it's the story of one generation that failed to communicate to the next, and another generation that failed to believe and obey. It works both ways, doesn't it? That the one generation needs to be explaining the truths of God, the wonders of God, the works of God, but the next generation, well, it rests upon them to believe it too. You can't manufacture faith for another person, can you? I know parents want to do that for their children. You are so hopeful that your children will get the message. And the responsibility rests with them. So the responsibility goes in two directions, doesn't it? The parent that has children that are wayward can't take the responsibility upon their shoulders if they have been faithful to share the word. And so it goes both ways. We need to communicate the word, but the word needs to be heard and listened to and obeyed, lest we become like the description in verses 9 through 72 of Psalm 78 of people who are ungrateful for what God has done, who have maybe new beginnings, but they're very short-lived, and who are just stubborn and rebellious against God. And so we need to understand this and communicate it. We also need to communicate by the works of God. Psalm 145 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful, wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness." So as we think of these things, we've got the wonders of God, the world that he created and put us in. We've got the word of God, how the word of God comes to us, and we need to communicate the very words of God, and then the works of God, those things in our lives that God has done, those times of intervention by God, as I said, the protections of God. Share those things, because that's what's personal about it, how God has been at work in your life. And we communicate all of those things in caring for the next generation. So let's bring this home to ourselves and to our own generation, the generation, whichever generation you are in. Bring it home to where you are. To the older generation, our application is that we need to teach intentionally. We need to be very intentional. I would say if there's anything that I fell short in, it was being intentional enough. I got my wife here. She can tell you whether I was intentional or enough. Fortunately, she was very intentional. And what was it you said? Every day you wanted to teach them something. Was that? Physically, emotionally, socially, and spiritually. Every day, she had the intention of communicating something of those four areas to our children. Intentionality. All right, so the older generation needs to be intentional. The younger generation needs to learn and to follow. The Word of God exhorts the younger generation to do that in these Psalms that we've been reading. The older generation, secondly, by way of application, needs to sympathize with the younger generation for the world that they're growing up in. Imagine growing up today. Live in a day where truth is relative. That truth is what you make of it. You invent yourself after what you think you should be. That's a horrible way to grow up. You have sympathy for young people who are bombarded with that? They're taught that they have to make their own reality, that they have to figure out their own identity. Isn't it so much better to tell them that they can have identity in Christ, that they are the creation of God? They don't have to worry about, oh, I'm too tall, or I'm too short, or I'm too this, I'm too that. That God created them the way he wanted them to be, and that they find identity, we don't find our identity in those things. We find our identity in Jesus, that we are his child, that we belong to him, and that he cares for us in ever so personal a way. So older generation needs to have sympathy for the younger generation and in the pressures of the world that they live in. Well, their world tells them that Christianity is irrelevant at best and is evil at worst. There's an anti-Christian sentiment that the next generation experiences that the older generation didn't. Well, we always knew that the world did not appreciate some of the convictions and standards that we had, but it wasn't this overt anti-Christian attitude that we see more and more in our world today. Have sympathy for the younger generation and realize that there's so many competing voices out there. Voices trying to tell them that this is the way to live and that is the way to live, and when the Word of God gives us the best way to live, we need to have sympathy for them. The younger generation, however, needs to know that there's stuff to learn from the older generation. Sometimes the younger generation says, oh no, the world is new and the world is different and they don't understand, they can't relate. Well, we certainly can. And the younger generation needs to learn from the successes and the failures of the older generations, trials that they've had. And one of my recent responsibilities is I was asked to teach the Bible at a local Christian school. And the class they gave me was the 12th grade, high school seniors. And one day, I don't know how it came up, I talked about being their age, 18, and being subject to the military draft. And they said, wait, what was that all about? I said, well, you know, they had this lottery and they picked the dates of the year and the lower numbers got drafted and sent into the army and went away to war. Well, wait, you mean your life got interrupted? Yeah. And you couldn't opt out? No, there was no opting out. Well, you could go to Canada and be a draft dodger and never come home again. They were blown away. They didn't know that part of history. Yeah, they knew that there was a Vietnam War. But I said, when I was your age, I was having to figure out what was going to happen with my life. I already knew what happened to my brother. He got drafted and sent there. They shot at him. He got wounded. And you know, the whole 9 years. And the kids were astounded. They were shocked that this was the world that I grew up in. I think they learned something that day. I think they learned a little appreciation for a generation that maybe the first day of class, kid raises his hand and says, how old are you? I've been afraid that there was going to be a big gap between me and them, and that only reinforced it. But we found a common ground, and they began to understand that, well, maybe the older generation had things in their lives that were difficult to deal with, too. So each generation needs to have a respect, I suppose, and an appreciation of the other generation, things that they had to face that you didn't have to face, and vice versa. So have an appreciation and a sympathy, and it goes both ways. The next thing, by way of application, is that both generations need to distinguish what is changeable from what is unchangeable. You know, there's things that can change. And I think each generation, they want to kind of have their own identity, right? So in my generation, they were tired of having mom send you to the barber to get a crew cut, so what'd they do? They grew their hair longer, right? They grew some sideburns. So what happened? Well, the dads were going through midlife crisis. They wanted to be young, so they grew their hair longer and grew sideburns, right? So what did the younger generation do? Well, they grew it down to here and invented the mullet and, you know, and all this ridiculous stuff, right? And some people got very, very upset about it. Oh, the long hair, it's a sign of rebellion. No, it wasn't. Well, in some cases it was. But basically it was wanting to have an identity of your own. And that's a changeable thing. Those kinds of things can change. Today, right? Oh, the young people invented, literally a young person invented Facebook. And so people were all on Facebook. Now today, the young people, no, a TikTok. The only thing that ticks and talks at my house are clocks, right? And I even have clocks that tick. The rest of them are, you know, digital things, you know? Said to my grandson said, what time is it? I said, it's 4:45. He says, what's that? Got to have a digital thing like that one with numbers on it, right? Can't tell time with the hands. Well, those things change, don't they? Methods change. Oh, when I grew up, we were used to a pipe organ, not just an electric organ, a pipe organ, and an acoustic piano, and who are you long-haired hippies coming in with that guitar thing, you know? That's a method. Methods change, right? Guitars, whether they be acoustic or electric or drums. Well, those things change. You know, I think of the drums. It's a changeable thing. And talk about making an impact on the next generation. We have a man at our church. He's our main drummer. He's in his mid-60s, right? He's about 65-ish. Great drummer. But he's been a mentor to some young men who took an interest in playing the drums. Wasn't his own kid, more than one. And you know, you don't know how good it feels for me to sit there and see him step aside and let one of these young guys that he has mentored come and sit and sit down there and keep the rhythm. But you see, he's been mentored, these young guys. Been mentored to know the place in worship, that it's not, you know, it's not a solo, right? That it's support of the worship. You see, that guy knows how to make an impact on the next generation. He takes them to the Psalms where it talks about the cymbals and the tambourines and worshiping God, and he's been a real mentor to some young men. See, it doesn't need to be somebody in your own family. You probably never heard of the name of William Crowell. William Crowell was a man at a feed store, 1902. You know, everybody pretty much had horses and buggies, and there was trolleys and automobiles. Not at all, not even not so much, not at all. But this man had a vision. His vision was to have a Sunday school to teach the children the Bible. There were no Sunday schools in any of the churches in his area at the time. And that was his vision, a vision that came right from Psalm 78, a vision for children to be taught the Bible. And it happened. And out of that grew the First Baptist Church of Metuchen, because of this man that had a vision to teach the younger generation the Word of God. Maybe you have a vision, a different vision, but a vision to see that these things are transmitted to the next generation. And so the important thing is to distinguish between methods and the message, right? The methods can change, can't they? Church doesn't look like what it looked like two generations ago. Church looks different. But as long as you haven't messed around with the message, it's really okay. You know, the drums are not of the devil, right? Some people thought that. Methods. Oh, the message. Well, that's different. You know, one of the other things that I do is I've been going to a Bible camp in Nova Scotia for 45 years to teach kids. Most of the time, it's not even the teenagers. They're just younger kids. And I was coming home from Nova Scotia last year. Sometimes I drive, sometimes we fly, whatever. I was in the airport and there was some guy and his flight was delayed and he was grumpy about that and he was bored and he was just walking around and he picked on me to talk to. And, oh, do you live here? No, I live in New Jersey. Oh, yeah, what are you doing here in Nova Scotia? Well, I told him about the Bible camp and how I come and teach kids the Word of God. And how long have you been doing this? 45 years. Wow. He said, I wonder, how has your message changed in the last 45 years? And I said to him, the message never changes. The way I present it, maybe, the object lessons or the illustrations or just the way I talk to the kids, that changes, but the message never changes. And generations have to understand that the message can't change. Oh, and I said to the guy, oh, and the message is. The message is that God created us good, but we fell into sin, and that sin has been transmitted, and our world is broken because of sin. And the Word of God tells us that God's plan was to redeem us from that sin, to give us hope, to give us an eternity, to give us forgiveness and cleansing so that we can exist in the presence of God, and how this is obtained only by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, who died to pay for your sins. And that's the message that can't change. Yeah, the methods can change. I wonder what worship will look like in 30 years. Should the Lord not come before then? Might be different. What do you think? Are we able to adapt the change of methods so that we can relate to a younger generation? It's okay, as long as you don't change the message. The message is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You shall be cleansed of your sin. He that believes in me shall never die. See, that's the message that can't change. And today, I trust and I hope and I pray that you have all received that message into your hearts, that you have believed in faith, not being proven to God how good you are, but to believe that any sin will keep you from the presence of God, the holy presence of God. And being convicted and convinced of that that you believe that Jesus alone was the perfect payment for that sin, and that by trusting in him, you shall have forgiveness and everlasting life. I pray that you've all made that decision, that you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, because that message cannot, will not, must not ever be changed. So call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved. That's the word of God. And then transmit that care for the next generation by telling the next generation of the wonders of God and the word of God and the works of God, the works in your own life, because you know him and you walk with him. That's how we care for the next generation. Oh, and by the way, we care for ourselves in the process too, don't we? And I trust that you will think about those three things too. The wonders of God, the word of God, and the works of God in your own life. May the Lord bless you as you apply his word to your life today. Father, thank you for these moments that we've had in your word. Thank you for the blessing of knowing you and knowing that you have a plan and a purpose for us. And part of that plan and purpose is to reach out to the next generation. And we pray, Lord, for the next generation to have the wisdom and the understanding that this is not something that's confined to an older generation, but is real and is true for every generation. Pray, Lord, that we would honor you as we share your word and your goodness with our world. Bless us. Help us to do this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And in him was the life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And that light is Jesus Christ. We're going to sing about that right now in his beautiful name. Sing together.
You were the Word at the beginning.
What a beautiful name it is.
Praise the Lord. I'd like to share for you as the benediction, the words of Paul as he met with the Ephesian elders. My favorite benediction of Scripture. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build. May you go and share his word with your world, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There's an army rising.